This message is brought to you by the local Wisconsin group, Economic Equity Now. Should tens of thousands of our friends and neighbors in Wisconsin lose their health insurance so billionaires like Elon Musk can get a tax cut? Let Senator Johnson know what your values are and how he should vote on this bill. This message is brought to you by the local Wisconsin group, Economic Equity Now.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. We're continuing a series on Easter because he lives. And because he lives, we have great and complete joy. That's what we hope to really take a look at. I also got a comment tonight. It's nice to see. This is, you're starting to see the summer people who have weekend things coming on Thursday night. That's the way it's supposed to be. To think about your worship, to worship weekly with others. That's what the third commandment commands us to do. And these are certainly following through on that. Let's worship with our first hymn, hymn 632, Lord, open now my heart to hear.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Tim Kuske will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture readings from John 16:16 through 24, the deep joy of disciples. Please join us now for the hymn, Lord, open now my heart to hear, hymn 632.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our... I'm doing your part. Let's read it. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for all our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Amen. Now let the heavens be joyful. With you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Oh God, you are a giver of everything good. Inspire us, your humble servants, to long for what is right and through your gracious guidance accomplish it to your glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first lesson is from Acts chapter 14, starting at verse 8. Here we see that even though some sad things happened to Paul, his joy wasn't affected by any circumstance. His joy was in the resurrection of the Lord. We read from Acts 14. In Lystra, there was a man who was sitting down because he had no strength in his feet. He had never walked because he was lame from birth. When he was listening to Paul, as he was speaking, Paul looked at him closely and saw that he had faith to be healed. Paul said in a loud voice, "Stand up on your feet." And the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Laconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the main speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and garlands to the city gates because he wanted to offer sacrifices along with the crowds. But when the apostles Paul and Barnabas heard about this, they tore their clothes and rushed into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing these things? We too are men with the same nature as you. We are preaching the good news to you so that you turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to go their own ways, but he did not leave himself without testimony of the good he does. He gives you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He fills you with food and fills your heart with gladness. Even though they said these things, they had a hard time stopping the crowds from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and persuaded the crowds to stone Paul. When they thought he was dead, they dragged him out of the city. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he stood up and went into the city. The next day, he left with Barnabas for Derbe. After they preached the good news in that city and had gathered many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples and encouraging them to continue in the faith. They told them, "We must go through many troubles on our way to the kingdom of God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We sing our psalm, Psalm 65. It's found in your Psalter as 65a. Our second lesson is from Revelation chapter 21, giving us a joyous look at what heaven will be like, and that there are many gates for us to enter in heaven that are provided for us. We read, "The 12 gates are 12 pearls. Each of the gates is made out of one pearl, and the street of the city is pure gold, like transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, because the glory of God has given it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. There is no day when its gates will be shut, for there will be no night in that place. They will bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Nothing else that is unclean, and no one who does what is detestable or who tells lies will ever enter it, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise for our gospel acclamation. On Maundy Thursday evening, Jesus was about to go to the cross, and yet he talked to his disciples about joy. You read the gospel acclamation. Alleluia. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Alleluia. Our gospel lesson is from John 16. In a little while, you are not going to see me anymore. And again, in a little while, you will see me, because I'm going away to the Father. Therefore, some of his disciples asked one another, "What does he mean when he tells us, 'In a little while, you're not going to see me,' and again, 'In a little while, you will see me,' and 'because I'm going away to the Father'?" So they kept asking, "What does he mean by 'a little while'? We don't understand what he's saying." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, "Are you trying to determine with one another what I meant by saying, 'In a little while, you're going to see me,' and again, 'In a little while, you will see me'? Amen, amen, I tell you, you will weep and wail, but the world will rejoice. You'll become sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. A woman giving birth has pain because her time has come, but when she delivers the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of her joy that a person has been born into the world. So you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. In that day, you will not ask me anything. Amen, amen, I tell you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete." The gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated for our next hymn, "Dear Christians, One and All, Rejoice." Dear Christians, One and All, Rejoice.
Shed my precious blood, me of my life. Father, I depart. The Holy Spirit send me, and heavenly wisdom to impart, my help to you extend me. He will a source of comfort be, teach you to
If we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Dear children of the resurrection, I want you to think about what brings you joy, real joy. Oh, my son had a lot of joy in telling his grandfather an interesting joke. He said, there's no language where a double positive becomes a negative. And from the audience, they said, yeah, right. Okay, did you get that one? English joke, all right. Brought us a little joy. I see a couple smiles, all right. But that's not joy, is it? You know? It's a happiness. You laugh, right? And I know you guys tell me jokes just to hear me laugh once in a while. But what's real joy? You know? Well, I kind of hinted at it. My son was here for a day. And we went to a graduation over at the seminary together. That's just joy. Combined with raising that kid and being with them all the way along the way and seeing them grow into a pretty mature person. Don't tell them I said so, you know. Might think I'm proud of them or something, you know. I'm joyful when I see my son. And although I don't jump up and down and, you know, laugh without, you know, relief, that joy is there. And it's deep down and it's constant and it's wonderful, isn't it? Isn't it? You got some joys like that in your life? I hope you all do. That's what Jesus is aiming at when he tells us about what Christian joy is all about. It's a deep joy for disciples. That's what that joy is. And that joy is, you know, is bound up with the resurrection reality, and our joy is our foundation for life. Here's just a couple of words from our text. I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. I will see you again, and you will rejoice. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Dear joyful Christians, Jesus was about to go and be captured by the authorities in Jerusalem on Maundy Thursday evening in secret at night, and he'd go have a trial in the middle of the night with no one to defend him, and we know what would happen thereafter. We know how terrible that was. And yet, Jesus, knowing that this was coming, talked to his disciples about joy. Talked to his disciples about complete joy. Now imagine it from, you know, we know the rest of the story. We know the joy that came after, the resurrection reality, and that's certainly a very important part of this. But take a look at it from the disciples' point of view. When Jesus was captured, when he was beaten, when he stood in public before Pilate, when he was crucified, when he died, when they put his body in the tomb. Not much to rejoice over there. And it fulfills exactly what Jesus said. He said, you will grieve. Are there things on earth that we as Christians grieve? Well, I think when someone loses a spouse, there is some real grief. You know? But it's important for us to realize the rest of what Jesus says, isn't it? And that's hopefully what we'll take away from all this. Our grief comes only because there is sin in the world. Our grief comes only because sin leads to death. Our grief comes because sinful people hurt others. And even we are part of that. Yeah, there is sadness. But this is exactly what Jesus is talking about. We can lose our grief. It can be gone. It can be turned aside. You know, think about what these disciples were thinking on that Maundy Thursday evening as Jesus went to the kangaroo court, right? We spent 3 years with this guy. Are we next? You know, that might have been one of their thoughts. You know, what do we do now? He's the one who healed everybody. And that's where our power came from, just by following him. What in the world? Their whole lives were turned upside down. And it got worse. And it's something that we understand from our world, right? Jesus said it to him. He says, look, the world around you will rejoice. Jesus comes in a humble manner. And he says, my death will give you life. Right? The world looks at that and just laughs. How can that be? That doesn't make sense. At least not to human beings. The love of God to others that puts others in front of yourself. The love that comes from Christ who gave us the best example thereof. The love of Christ that endured all things. If you look in 1 Corinthians 13, that's what it tells us about love. And he certainly endured all things, did he not? The love that warns us of where our sins lead us. The love that reminds us that we're the ones who deserve the cross. All these things can bring us grief too, can't they? But they're so humble. And in the end, this is exactly the way Jesus used to bring us glory. When he humbly died on that cross. And the world rejoices. The world of Jesus rejoiced. We need to be careful of what we take from our world. It's not wrong for us to be a part of our world. We're in it. But we shouldn't be of it. How many things can you think of? How many attitudes out in our world affect you? And of course, those are the ones that, of course, you hardly notice because you think they're right. You know? If you think that that attitude is a good way to go about things, you probably think it's right. Maybe you need somebody to say, "How you need to wake up that attitude." It's not really loving in God's way. How important for us to really examine ourselves and then experience even greater joy. Jesus, of course, was talking about 3 days after, you know, the third day after Good Friday. You know what happened? He rose from the dead. Here these guys were moping around, hiding from everybody, and they still hadn't put it all together in their head on that first day, but boy, did they have some joy, right? Didn't we just bury you? You know, the 10 said to him. How can that be you? Oh, here, touch, feel. Give me some fish. Let me show you I can eat. You know? What joy. Death is temporary and life is eternal. That's what Jesus made happen. We know that joy. I hope that's a daily joy for you, kind of like loving your kids, right? How important for us to recognize the freedom, get what the disciples didn't get on that first night, and really apply it to ourselves. We have freedom from the devil. The one who tempts, the one who accuses, the one who has all the things against us that we don't want anyone else to know. Because we know he's right. But we have freedom from him. We have freedom from sin, which he brought about through his temptations. Those sins have been paid for by Christ and sealed that they are gone because of his resurrection. You see, sin brought death. And if he defeated death, then he defeated sin too. And although, you know, we don't think about that every day, take a time to think about it. What that freedom from sin, death, and the devil really means for you here and now. You know? How important for us to recognize this freedom, this great joy, because Christ has risen, because Christ lives. We have been declared not guilty of the sins we know we've done. We won't be held accountable through faith in him, because we come to him believing in repentance that he will forgive the terrible sins I keep on doing. Because we hand over our sins to him, we have that guarantee in Christ Jesus. Remember how much joy this should bring you. I love Jesus' example for this. I can think of only one woman who didn't react the way that he says here, that when she had her children, how did she feel after she had those babies, warming her up after the birth? Oh, they were full of smiles. They may have been a little tired. I said there was only one who didn't. She unfortunately had a 24-hour labor. That was difficult. But she was dead asleep. But when that baby's born, what joy. You know, I've gotten through the tough part and now I get the happy part. What gives you joy? Let it be God's word. And now that you have that promise and that life from God, I want this joy to be the foundation for your life. This is something I've hinted at and talked about all the time through, especially Easter time, sometimes on Maundy Thursday evening. And on Easter too. The 10 disciples, the 11 disciples that were left were up in that upper room, right? 10 of them, because Judas wasn't there and Thomas wasn't there. But they were in the upper room. And they were scaredy cats, weren't they? They were just afraid to step outside the door because they thought that the officials that killed Jesus are now going to do it to them, right? And suddenly Jesus shows up in a room, right? After those 40 days with Jesus, do you notice a change in their attitude? Every one of those disciples gave their life for Christ. Every last one, except for John, who they tried to kill, actually. At least according to tradition, they gave him poison. But all the rest died at the hands of evil men. Would you have the joy to give your life for something that was a lie? Well, they knew it wasn't a lie. They had touched and seen Jesus. Would you be joyful to go to death in general? Well, they knew there's life after death. What's the big deal, right? I know I'm going to heaven. And what did it do for them as they went and did their work? Man, they couldn't shut up about how wonderful Christ was and all that he did for them in their lives. And their bravery showed it, right? They had eternal life with God. They had reestablished that connection to eternity, even though they were still living in time, and their joy overflowed, and it supported every part of their life. I hope that's where you get with your faith. Here's another joy for you that I enjoyed. The joy of children who are discovering something new, right? I had to tease my best friend because he was trying to teach his kid to ride his bike, and he was at work when I popped in one day, and his wife said, they want to ride their bikes, and this one still is learning. Will you help them? So I had to run down the street, and I got to see him ride his bike for the first time. It was so cool. I got to tease my buddy afterwards, but his wife took a picture. So, you know, it's joy to see them light up. I can do this. I can do this. Think about that with people who just discover what Christ really means to them. Let it be a foundation for your life. Are you afraid of death? Some of you with gray hair. We will rise to glory by faith in Christ Jesus. We'll have glorified bodies and not these wrecks that come because of sin. No fear for your reputation. You know you're a sinner and you own it. And so you give it over to God because you know what his death did. And you also know what his resurrection did. The sinful world hates us because we have confidence in spite of our own sins. They accuse us of being goody two-shoes, but you know what? Our lives shine a light on those immoral lifestyles that are out there. And it's no wonder that they call us hypocrites and then go down the path of self-destruction. Dear people of God, keep living that life because it shines a light not only on your confidence and your joy, but on them so that they might see the joy you have. No fear that you're not going to be in eternity because it doesn't depend on you. It's already been done. It's a part of history. Right? I know the price that was paid for me. It is not a small thing to just confess my sins. My Savior went to the cross. My God chose to give his life for me. That's the price paid. And he sealed it with his resurrection. Repentant people receive resurrection to eternal life. So live your lives on this foundation. You got one more joy. I've talked about my prayers often enough, but this is what he's saying. Ask anything in my name and he will bless it, right? And it's probably good to just kind of talk over that phrase, in his name. I know that there comes confusion for it once in a while. It's kind of like if I'm wearing a McDonald's uniform, what do you expect from me? Well, some food served very fast. Ain't necessarily the best, but it gets you lunch, right? If I have an Amoco thing on my cap, what are you expecting? Well, you're expecting gas, right? To make sure that your car runs, okay? So now, when we say in his name, pretend that you got Christ Jesus written right there, tattooed on your forehead. What should someone expect from you? Trust and faith in Christ? Yeah. That's what God expects of you. And when we do those things, we do it in his name. We don't do something that would turn people away from his name. And so we're using his authority, aren't we? That's what this means. When we're doing it in his name, we're doing it under his authority. And he does it always to bless his church. And we know that that is his body. We are the ones wearing not the McDonald's uniforms, but the Christian uniforms in every part of our lives. Everybody knows who you are in town. Everybody knows you go here. Let your faith grow and do what he says. When you pray in his name, he will bless it. I don't know how many times I can say, I prayed for specifically this. And although he didn't do it exactly the way I wanted, he did bless it. As a pastor, I get to pray for an awful lot of different things. And how wonderful that is when I see God take it by the horns and fix it. It's amazing to see him work. I'm a spectator as he does his work. But you can do that in your life too. Think of the joy that brings me. How about the joy it'll bring you? I always tease you, Lutherans, you don't pray enough. Find time to pray. Think about what you're praying. When you're here in worship, don't just, oh, pastor's praying. I'm going to look at my phone, you know. No. Pay attention. Fervently pray it and see God give you even greater joy. What brings you joy? I don't know. I can't help talking about this. In the end of June, I'm going to my parents' 70th wedding anniversary. You know, 70th. Well, besides the fact that God seemed to think that I needed extra parenting, I love seeing them be together. I don't know if you've seen the commercial with the old couple walking down the path, hand in hand. That's what we aim for in marriage, don't we? Does the world get this joy? Many of the world don't. Oh, some do. What a joy. What an amazing thing that God has given us. Let's rejoice in what God has given us. Let us rejoice in every joy he gives us. All come from his hand, every blessing we have. And we can make that joy the foundation of our life that overcomes this world and puts us in glory. Dear people of God, be joyful. Amen. Please rise. May the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in you what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We continue with our worship with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated for the prayer of the church. We'll be reading a responsive prayer, and it is on the screen. Loving God and Lord, you created the universe that surrounds us and the globe on which we live. You control all things through your Son, who sits at your right hand in glory. Comfort us with the promise of your eternal presence. Give your word power as it works in our hearts and minds. Clear away our confusion and demolish our doubts. Send your Spirit to strengthen both our confidence in your promises and our desire to live according to your will. Take away our love of sinning. The signs of the times warn us that the end of time is near. Protect us from scoffers who sneer at your truth. Spare us and Christians around the world from all forms of hate and persecution. Instill in the hearts of our children a desire to follow you as they prepare for future days. Help them distinguish between what is passing and what is eternal, between instant thrills and lasting joy. Encourage more young people to prepare for service in the public ministry of the gospel. Mold us and move us to be good examples for our youth. Hold in your care, Lord, those who are experiencing physical or emotional pain and all who are afflicted by disease or facing death. Pour out your compassion on the grieving and comfort the mourners who miss someone they loved. Move us to pray for these brothers and sisters and to help when we can. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are experiencing physical difficulties. Some of them wanted to remain private, but there are those among us who are ailing. Lord God, you know who they are. Bless them. Bring them back to health. Lord God, we praise and thank you that you gave us more servants of the word. And although from our point of view it doesn't seem to be enough, we know that you have supplied our church with faithful workers. Dear Lord, in this crisis of not having enough to serve every church and every classroom, Lord God, bless us. Bless us through those who are willing. Encourage them to remain faithful. Help us to lift them up and see how important they really are to our lives as we listen at their feet to the Word of God. Hear us, Lord, as we also pray in silence. Whether we pray together or alone, you have promised to hear and answer us. Give us patience to accept your blessings in whatever way you send them. In your love and wisdom, prepare us for the day when you will take us to be with you forever. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our offering is at the box for Thursday evenings. We will continue with our next hymn, Jerusalem the Golden, hymn 890. Jerusalem the Golden, hymn 890. Please rise for prayer. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart that, being strengthened and comforted and rejoicing by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In your name we pray the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated for our final hymn, which is This Day of Resurrection, Earth Tell It All Abroad, hymn 450.
From St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo or 103.7 FM in Reedsburg. You can also stream online on max.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at the same time. The cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Spectrum, cable channel 10, and Antenna TV on 43. You may also watch the service at St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page and YouTube pages at 9 a.m. on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in 3-year-old preschool through 8th grade. We are now taking reservations for summer camp, which starts on June 9th. It will be for 3-year-olds to 12-year-olds. It'll be from 7 a.m. to 5:30 each day, Monday through Friday. Also, Vacation Bible School will be at June 24th through June 26th, 9 to 11:30 in the morning. Please contact the St. John's School or church webpage. This broadcast was made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, will be appreciated. For more information about our congregation, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org. The television producer today is Brent Bailey, and this is Cindy Allen. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
Recognize that God has blessed us with people who defend our freedoms here. It's not very many places that have such freedom of religion as we do. There is a VBS sign-up sheet for helpers and teachers. We do need you. If you have time to pitch in, it's during the days during the day and the last week of June, I believe. If you could help out, we'd really appreciate it. there's a sign-up. And I think the end of school is coming this next week. And I don't know, when I was a kid, I was very joyful when school ended and very sad when I didn't see my friends every day. Isn't that interesting? You know? Let's rejoice with those kids as they take another milestone and point them to even greater joys. Good evening to all of you, and God bless.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.